Turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. Philippians, chapter number 3. We were dealing this morning with some things concerning the battle that rages for the souls of men. And if the devil can water down the teaching of the cross, certainly that is the battleground, and that we can realize that the Lord has given us eternal life through Jesus Christ, but it has to be according to His Word and has to be according to His plan. And the plan has always been that Jesus was slain as a lamb before the foundation of the world, and in time, in the process of time that came, He literally died upon the cross of Calvary, and that cross being the focal point of the ministry that we have someone to preach about, someone to consider the things that has been given to us concerning life eternal through the death of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And so the battle rages, and the enemy is always there. And this morning we dealt with that side of it. If there's no cross, then there certainly is no salvation. There's no substance to life. And those things that we dealt with. Tonight I want us to look at some of the things that's involved in the enemies of the cross. And literally there are enemies of the teaching of the cross of Calvary. There are people that despise the very thought of the Lord Jesus Christ in any way. And the cross is that emblem or that symbol that pictures to this world what Jesus did that day when He died. We that are saved, we rejoice around the cross. But those that are lost, they have rejected that, and they really despise the thought of the cross, and many of them are enemies. Let's begin reading here tonight in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 14. Paul is writing to the Philippian church, the church of Philippi, and he says in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, for until we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. We could stop there tonight in that middle of that verse, the enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction. Tonight, those that people and folks that are enemies of the cross of Calvary, certainly we realize that their end, when they work out their life and their life is well spent and they die without God, their end is of destruction. Verse 20 tells us that our conversation or our citizenship, our way of life is in heaven. And so there's a great contrast between the enemies and the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies. And he goes on and says it's going to be fashioned like unto His glorious body. And so tonight we are going to deal with these people and these types of people. Many of them, some of them are mentioned in the Scripture, but certainly their types and their examples that they give to us are there everywhere, and we see them even in our particular time in which we live, of people that we are to avoid. Paul tells here, as we read there, he says, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. And so Paul has discussed this with the Philippian people before, and he tells Timothy that he needs to be a good soldier, because this really is a battle. It's not something to be taking lightly, because it's a battle for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. And so we are laborers together. He tells us in verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as so as ye have us as an example. If they're not walking like Paul, then mark them. In other places, Paul tells us to mark those that are contrary to the things of the Lord. And so In our verses here tonight, Paul tells us that there are those that are not friendly toward the gospel. I believe it has always been that way. I believe we see it more pronounced now maybe than ever has because of the media that we have and the social networking and all the things that we have all around us that immediately everybody is very active and you see what they say, you know what they're saying, and it's an instantaneous communication that we, a society in which we live. And so we see it pronounced much more stronger maybe than days before, but it has always been. Literally, these folks are enemies of the working of the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross of the Lord. Just as there are those that are faithful and encouragers, there are those that we are to avoid. There are those that we realize they're not speaking well. They're not doing good for us. And the words that they're saying are not true. Over in the book of 2 Timothy, and we're going to spend most of the time tonight in the book of 2 Timothy, but Paul writes to Timothy, this young man of the gospel. Paul is writing here in his latter days, and he's about ready to be offered. His departure is at hand, and he's trying to give Timothy some things that he can hold on to that he might continue on and carry forth the same message that Paul had as he preached. In verse number 1 of 2 Timothy chapter number 2, Paul says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Here is the pattern, here is the plan. I know we've gone over this before, it's so very prevalent here in verse number 2. Paul tells us that we are to commit, we are to believe what we have heard, we are to commit that to faithful men, that they also might commit it later on to others. And so there's a chain reaction, there's a continual process of keeping the gospel pure, there's a continual process of teaching and showing others how that they are to follow the direction that is given to us in the Scripture. And so Paul tells Timothy, to do this, you've got to endure hardness. You've got to be a good soldier. You've got to train yourself. And Paul is warning him here to be careful. I believe tonight we need to understand we need to be careful, because everything that names the name of Christ is not Christian. Not everything that talks about God is godly. Not everything that talks and every person that talks about spiritual things is spiritual. And so we have to beware. We need to try the spirits to know whether they be of God or not. And to do that, we must be in the Word of the Lord. And so he's telling Timothy here to be careful, to be watchful, to be able to avoid these downfalls and these pitfalls of people that do not follow the direction of God's Word. All we have to do here tonight is we can go home. We can leave here tonight. We can go home and we can turn on our TV or you can search the internet and you're going to find somebody out there very rapidly, very quickly that denies the things that we hold true. I mean, it's very prevalent. The enemies of the cross are very pronounced. And they sometimes even go under the disguise of religion. They sometimes even call themselves preachers. They sometimes even have churches. And so we find that there are those that are enemies. And Paul tells Timothy here, he said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou have heard of me." Paul says, you depend upon what I've told you and depend upon the words that he's been given. He said, now you take them into your heart. You commit them to faithful people. No need of putting things in unfaithful people because they're going to remain unfaithful. I've had, even in my own time, you get in your mind and say, well, these folks here, they're coming pretty good. Maybe they just need a job to make them faithful. Well, you give them a job, they're still not faithful. We commit things to faithful people. If we're going to get the job done, it's done by people that are faithful to the Lord. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy here. So that they might also be able to teach others, because there's another generation. There's a continual process of generation after generation. Now in the book of 2 Timothy, I believe to sort of bring this home to Timothy, Paul brings out some people and some ideas that showed themselves to be enemies of the cross of Christ. They showed themselves to not be faithful. They showed themselves not to be right. And they certainly, some of them, were in direct opposition to the Apostle Paul. And so Paul is trying to warn Timothy. He said, now you've got to be a good soldier. But to do that, you've got to endure the hardships, the hardness, and be that type of person. So I want us to look tonight at three or four of these that are mentioned here in the book of 2 Timothy that were, I believe, identified, possibly that we could call enemies of the things of the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 13, again, Paul tells Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me. That's almost identical. It's the same message that we read a while ago in chapter 2, the things which thou have heard of me. He says now, Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest. Now, Paul is going to identify some things here with Timothy. He said, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Here's two people that are mentioned. Paul says, now, you know, I've told you this before. These are two people that have turned many from the work of the Lord and turned many away from Paul. And he gives their name as Phygellus and Hermogenes. Here these men were disloyal to God. They were at one time possibly servants, at least on the outside, were servants of God. And now they have abandoned Paul. They are disloyal to him. You know, it's a terrible thing for friends to no longer be friends. It's a terrible thing when somebody that has worked with you and dealt with you and been side by side and all of a sudden they turn against you. And Paul tells Timothy, he said, now you be careful, you be sure that you remember and hold fast the sound words which I have given you. You see, the sound word that we have is the book that we have before us. And we are to hold fast. And if people will disregard us, if people abandon us because of what we stand for from the Word of God, then so be it. That's just the way it happens. But we must realize that there are those that in that abandoning the people of God, they are also showing themselves and identifying themselves as enemies of the gospel. They're identifying themselves as enemies of the cross. Now, Paul doesn't say too much about these two men. In the next couple of verses, he gives us another individual that was very, very important. I think we can be identifying and can see a little bit of the problem with these two when we look at how this one over here on verse 16, 17, and 18, how he was with Paul. Verse 16 says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for they oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Paul said, this person, this man, he wasn't ashamed that I was a prisoner. He wasn't ashamed that I was in chains. And possibly these two over here, they just didn't want to be around Paul any longer because he wasn't of the higher class. And he was he's in jail. How are we going to do anything for the Lord with Paul in jail down there? And they were ashamed of him more than likely. And here we find this one says, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me, and the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many things he administered unto me at Ephesus thou knowest very well. So here's two groups, or two people, two groups of people. One man that was a very encouragement to the Apostle Paul, and two that were literally enemies of the cross. On the battlefield, they deserted him. He has been taken captive. He's in prison. He has made the journey to Rome that we've been studying about in the book of Acts on Wednesday night. And here, as he writes to Timothy, he said, they have abandoned me. He says, you know them. Verse 15, this thou knowest, that all which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Aegeus and Hermogenes. These two men turned themselves against Paul, and therefore as a deterring and a defector, they're disloyal to the things of God. May the Lord help us tonight to always be loyal to our Commander-in-Chief, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. To be loyal to His Word and be loyal to the commands that He gives unto us. No wonder Paul told Timothy, "Now Timothy, you're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier. Because it's difficult. It's hard. It's a sad time when your friends forsake you. It's a sad time when they no longer want to be around you. It's a sad thing when they defect and when they are no longer loyal to you. So Timothy, you better gird it up. You better realize that these things are difficult and hard because there are enemies of the cross. And you know, sometimes enemies are even in our own families. Sometimes they live next door to us. Sometimes there are folks whom we have dealings with in other areas, but all of a sudden we realize that they are not very close to us, and they, when it comes to spiritual things, they are certainly on a different way of living and serving. So the enemies of the cross are sometimes defectors. They maybe look good, they are maybe there for a while, and then they disappear. They're just not there. They defect. Different countries, we used to hear more about it than we do today, but during the Iron Curtain years and during the Berlin Wall years that we have in our history, there would be people that would defect from one country to America. They wanted to be in America because of freedom. And it's a strange thing that those folks there in Europe, they built a wall. And they built that wall to keep people in. And we're talking about building a wall to keep people out. People want to come to America. People want what we've got. And they desire that, and they have a desire to do that. And so we find that there are those that will defect from their country politically or socially because they want something better for them. But these folks here defected from the best. How would you like to have that written about you throughout all eternity? They defected from Paul. They were ashamed of his chains. They were ashamed of his prison time. They were ashamed of the persecution. They just didn't want to be around him anymore. That wasn't too good for their society. It wasn't too good for maybe their business while they're friends with Paul down there in jail. Years ago, we had some folks come to church here, and they were sort of high crusty people. And they said, "We can't come to church here because it won't be good for our business." As far as I know, they're no longer in town. Their business didn't do so well. So tonight we need to realize that we are on the side of the winning. Our Lord is the winner. He is the one. And so may the Lord help us not to be like these two that are mentioned and defect because things don't look just like they should. And maybe others think wrongly about us because of who we associate with. I don't believe you can associate with a much better person than the Apostle Paul. Only one better that I can think of, and that'd be the Lord. And they were very well on speaking terms. No wonder Paul said to Timothy, "Endure hardness. Do it as a good soldier, not of his, but of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now over in chapter number 2, there's another incident here, some other names given. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse number 17. Well, let's go back to verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." Paul tells Timothy, one thing you have to do is, in these verses that we've just read, he tells him to remember the things that he's been told. Now he tells him in chapter number 2, "Study to show thyself approved." What are you supposed to study? The Word of God. you and I tonight, we have the message of God before us. Study to show thyself approved. And then it says, unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. When we go out in our field and where we live and where we work and the things we do, we ought not to be ashamed that we tell people that we're Christians. And we certainly ought not to be ashamed that we do not that we're not able to give a good answer for what we believe. That is a shame. Baptist people and I, we need to understand what we are, who we are, why we are what we are, and understand what the Scripture says, that we be not ashamed. And the only way we can do that is to study the Word of God. Somebody said, well, I don't like doctrine. Well, that means you don't like to be taught. The word doctrine just means teaching. Somebody told me the other day, said, well, my church says it's non-denominational, but no such thing. A non-denominational church is a church that has a teaching. And it has a church, it has a teaching that usually is very different from the Scripture. It just sort of opened up to everybody, and that's total confusion. And so we find here tonight that these two, Hymenaeus and Philetus, they diverted the truth. They turned from the truth, and they denied the truth. Paul says, now, study to show so you'll know, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know why the cults can take this book, and they can make it say everything they believe? It's because they do not rightly divide. They do not take words in context. I can take the Scripture and make it teach anything. Judas went out and hanged himself somewhere else. He says, go do thou likewise. So, I mean, we could start and say, well, just go hang ourselves. Well, the Bible says that. You take it out of context, it'll say anything. And so Paul says to Timothy, rightly divide. Know the Word of God. Because then he gives him the illustration of these two men. Their word will eat as doth a canker, because concerning the truth, Paul says this is the only thing that matters. And by the way, this only thing that matters in our gospel is the truth. If we have a gospel, then it has to be truth. And Paul says to Timothy, these two men have erred concerning the truth. And they're teaching that the resurrection is past already. I don't know what kind of millennialists they are. The resurrection's already past. And they've erred from the truth. And so Paul tells Timothy, he said, be careful of those that deny the truth. They've erred from the passages and erred from the Scriptures that we know concerning a coming resurrection. Thank God tonight we can turn our Bibles and we can open our Scriptures and we know that there's a better day coming. We know that there is a resurrection yet for the child of God. Because He arose, one day we shall rise. And so these two men, they had denied the truth and they had diverted themselves and had diverted others. And so Paul is warning Timothy. 2 Timothy is a book of warning to this preacher to study, to know what's right and to stand upon the truth. And he tells him here, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. There's no reason to do that, Timothy. Just study the book. Know what it says. Preach the Word. That's why he tells him in chapter 4, preach the Word. I charge thee. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. The only way you can do that is to study the Scripture. The only way you can do that is to know what thus saith the Lord. So we find here that there are the enemies. They'll defect and they'll even deny the gospel. They'll turn their back upon it and then they will certainly pervert the truth. They'll deny the truth of God's Word. Those folks are enemies. Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In the first few verses of this chapter, Paul says that perilous times are coming. We read these verses time and time again. We think about the perilous times that we are in. And Paul is telling Timothy there's going to be some hard times to come. Why preach the Word of God? Because there's perilous times. Why stand upon truth? Why? Because perilous times are here. And he gives a whole list of things there in verse 2, 3, 4, 5. 7. He says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. He says in verse number 3, people are without natural affections. They're despisers of those that are good. The whole list here. But then when you come to verse number 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There are those that always are trying, but they just never do make it to the truth. And then he lists here two men's names. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. So do these. Who are these here? Those that have a form of godliness. Those that deny the truth. Those that are lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, heady, high-minded. All those things. These. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Paul is using some very important words. He's talking about the Scripture in chapter 2. He talks about the faith here in this chapter where we just read. He says they have perverted those things. They corrupt minds. They're reprobate concerning the faith. They resist the truth. You see, all these things are what is active in pure gospel. Truth and faith, Scripture. All those things are a part of the message that we have. But these men, Jannes and Jambres, he gives us Old Testament men as examples. Now, they're not mentioned in the Old Testament. You're not going to find them in the Old Testament. But Paul knew about them. Paul knew some things about these men, what they did. And the best I can find, even through Jewish history, these two could have possibly been those that were part of the Egyptian magicians that withstood Moses. You know, when Moses first started doing the miracles, they did the same thing. And so whoever they are folks that are doing things that are counterfeit. They are folks that are they've never come to the knowledge of the truth, and they're corrupt in their minds, they're reprobate in their faith. They just don't understand the things of the gospel, and that makes them an enemy of the truth. You see, the devil is a very deceptive character. If he can deceive any way he can, he will. And so when Moses threw down his rod and it became a serpent, they did the same thing through deception. When Moses took it up again and became his rod, they did the same thing by deception. The devil has many people out there that are deceiving multitudes and masses of people by showing spectacular things that you say, you don't believe those things happen? Oh, I believe a lot of spectacular things are happening. I just try the spirits to find out where they're from. You believe the devil can do miracles? Oh, I believe he can do some miracles. He'll do anything to deceive you. And he has his cohorts today. He has his workers today. They're probably not called Hymenaeus or Philetus or these other names that we've called. They have other identifications. If I want to be real mean, I'd give you my examples, but I won't. But they're deceptive. They'll do anything that they can. Watch some of that stuff, and immediately somebody's got a new revelation. Better grab your billfold. Because they want you to pay for their new revelation. Yeah, they've got they know their address. And so, by deception, they're enemies of the cross. A lot of them out there. So you have the defectors, you have the deniers, you have the deception. Then, 2 Timothy chapter 4, everybody knows this one. For Demas hath forsaken me, verse 10. Having loved this present world and is departed to Thessalonica. Demas, the deserter. Demas had been a servant of the Lord. at least outwardly. Demas had traveled with Paul. But now, he says, he's forsaken me. And the reason that he has forsaken Paul is that he loves the world that he sees before him. He'd go crazy today, wouldn't he? He didn't see much in his day. He didn't have much to entice him in his day. We have all kind of enticement. I mean, everywhere you look, I wouldn't want to be a teenager today. The enticements are there everywhere. And they have to deal with them. And may God help us to help them, to teach them right and wrong, truth versus error. But Demas here has deserted Paul. He couldn't be counted upon. He couldn't say, Demas, come here, I need you, because Demas is gone. I think these are sad words here in verse 11. Paul says, only Luke is with me. Timothy, Demas, you know your friend, possibly, he's forsaken me. Only one I have with me now is Luke. Take Mark. Remember John Mark? He had turned back one time. He'd gotten some things right. And Paul says now to Timothy, he says, take John Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Well, I'm glad God gives us another chance. He's profitable. Only Luke is with him, but I need somebody to take Demas' place. He's deserted. You know, a deserter is terrible. A person deserts his post in the army or whatever branch of service he's in, and in the midst of the battle, he very well could be the reason for someone getting killed because he's not standing his guard. He's not doing what he's supposed to. He's not doing what he's trained to do. Same thing with Demas. He deserted and somebody had to take his place. Enemies. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we read verse number 14 and 15. Here's another man that I sort of identify as an enemy. Alexander the coppersmith. Paul says, did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. What an indictment. Alexander the coppersmith, he did me much evil. He spoke against Paul. He worked against Paul. He devised things against him. And all Paul said was, the Lord reward him according to his works. What an indictment. You and I tonight, there are folks around us that are deserters, just like Demas. There are those that are in direct opposition, like Alexander. There are those that are deceived and are deceivers. There are those that will deny the truth, as those men did. There are those that will defect and they are disloyal. All of those people that Paul tells Timothy about are people that I believe can be identified as enemies. There are enemies all around us tonight. There are those that hate the very thought of God and thought of Christ. And they don't have the strange names like we've read tonight, but they've got names like John and George and Sue and Sally and Larry. And just put a name on them in America. There are some of them that have been raised in good churches. They have even a group that's called Fundamentalist Anonymous. These are folks that were raised in fundamental churches and now they've rejected the things that they were taught and they are fighting against what we believe. They're enemies of the cross. And so we better take the words of Paul as he gave to Timothy to be strong in the grace, to know the words of the Lord, to study and endure hardness. Those are the only things that will keep us active in the work of the Lord. We can be withstood many types of people. I'm glad tonight I have a Christ. I'm glad I have a Savior. He can't be touched by their words and their deeds. He can't be destroyed. We have an inspired Word. We have an indwelling hope within us, the Spirit of God. And so therefore we have the work within us, and the power within us from on high, that we can withstand the enemies of the cross. I think we need to thank the Lord for those that followed Paul. I'm glad that we are followers of Paul. Somebody said one time, and was on in a discussion, and I forget now what the discussion was about, and they said, "Paul, Paul, Paul, that's all I hear." Pretty good. He wrote most of the New Testament, so I guess that would be what we'd hear. I don't want to hear what Paul said. Oh, I know what it's about. It's about the things of women preachers. He's all I hear. He was a woman hater. I'd hate to say that about the Apostle Paul. That's almost blasphemous. And they are despisers of those things that they disagree with. Oh, thank God we can follow Paul. I'm glad we have faithful men. I'm glad we can give out the Word of God to those that are coming after us to be faithful, that we can fight the battle not only now. This battle has been fought time and time again. It's fought every year. It's fought every moment. It's fought every generation. It's fought all the time. And you know what? It'll be fought tomorrow. It'll be fought the next day. It'll be fought next year. It'll be fought 10 years down the road from now. Because it's a never-ending battle. That's why we must commit these things to faithful men, that they might tell them to others. Continual process of teaching truth. Because if we don't, the devil will win the battle. If we don't, we'll have that watered-down gospel I talked about this morning, if we don't stand. Help us, oh Lord, help us not to desert. Help us, Lord, not to turn. Help us not be disloyal. Help us to be right on target for the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve Him. I pray that the Lord will do that for us as people, as the people of God, as a church of the living God, that we would let the world know we believe what God says. We're going to stand upon the message of the gospel. You know why they want to tear down all the crosses everywhere? Because that cross makes them remember Calvary. And men that do not accept the Word of God, that do not accept the Son of God, they don't want to have that association. So they just say, take it down. We don't want it. You know why they don't want the commandments hanging anywhere? Because it reveals their personality. It reveals their sin nature. You know why that a football player that would pray, why he would get so ridiculed over that? Because they don't want to be thinking about that. That one guy on the other team said, "We don't need God on our team." They lost the other day too. But that's society. That's the world. They do need God. And the only people that's going to tell them about the Lord, tell them the truth, is people that believe the truth. The deserters are not going to do it. The others are not going to do it. Only us that believe and hold to this book. Let's stand together tonight and we'll be dismissed.